Have you ever wondered what it's like to be in a writer's room creating a show? Welcome to The Vomit Draft, where three writers puke up ideas and see what sticks to the wall. So listen in, because it's better than listening to Janice at reception overshare about her Dave's piles. Join us as we find out all the things we don't know and work out the very best ways to make it as a screenwriter in the UK.
Vomit Draft.
Blech! Vomit Draft.
Did you actually just make that noise?
Do you enjoy it? You like the peak references?
Yeah.
Helen, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
Steve, how are you?
Fine and dandy, thank you very much.
Fine and dandy. Excellent. Everyone's good. So here we are, episode 6 of the podcast, trying to create a TV show. And quick recap, we had an idea about somebody investigating myths and legends around the UK. We developed characters of a second wife of a detective who's maybe on his last legs, got dementia, and she inherits his detective agency and all the old case files. There's a daughter-in-law a stepdaughter for the wife brought in as well, and it's their relationship and their relationship with the father-husband, and also the relationship with the cases that they're investigating and the people that it impacts. And it's really what this story and this show is about. But Steve, you and I were talking before about what you were saying about radio shows, podcasts with myths and legends in it. Can you say a bit more about that?
I'm probably the one here who's most wedded to stories that, you know, deal with high concepts around myths and legends. But the more I thought about it, the more research I did, it seems like the natural home for that kind of stuff at the moment is radio shows or podcasts, because there's no real visual budget constraints on having to create the world or having to create the creatures, etc. And the more I thought about what we've come up with, the more it's just problematic in a kind of a two choice kind of way. Either every week they find out a myth is true, or every week they find out a myth is false. And I'm just not sure how, without really jumping both feet into a Harry Potter or X-Files type setting, or, you know, Rivers of London type setting, I just don't know how we do that story justice. And, you know, Helen can jump in on this, being the most experienced out of all of us. It feels like we're setting ourselves up here on the path of highest resistance from minute one.
Well, certainly anything with any supernatural issues in it is always going to be massively difficult to sell. Not massively difficult. Some people find it easy to sell because
there's just fewer of those shows.
Yeah, but us three are going to find it harder than a naturalistic contemporary drama. And also in terms of tone, as I've said many, 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 many times, selling comedy is much, much harder than selling drama. It just isn't the slots.
Yeah, and the myths and legends does kind of lend itself a bit to gentle comedy, maybe even broad comedy, but definitely having comedy elements in it.
And I know you two fancy writing a comedy, and you've been writing comedies and sitcoms and stuff like that, but A, I have no experience of that and no interest, if I'm honest.
Oh, trust me, it's hard.
But also, I just think it's a really, really hard sell. So it's like entering an already competitive industry and choosing the hardest bit of it. And I can't see why you'd do that.
Mm. So, well, here's the question then. If Myths and Legends seems to be better suited to a radio podcast, an audio based format, and maybe Myths and Legends lends itself a little more to the comedic side of storytelling, which is a harder sell, do we feel that this idea should be written for radio and podcast, and are we interested in writing for radio from podcast? Because I'm not really interested in writing for radio. That's a good question.
Whether we decide, and that's, we were having a conversation a little bit before this, weren't we? Where we said,
if we're writing for telly, why pick a very difficult platform to aim at? But maybe then that is the answer. We've chosen the right idea, but the wrong platform.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in writing for radio, really.
Then fair enough.
So here's the next question. Well, Steve, are you interested in writing for radio or podcasts?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
But not necessarily this. I'm not saying that this is the whole point of this is to get something on TV.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that this idea that we shared might find more reception if you went and said this is a recurring radio show where you can really lean into it rather than dance around the sort of fantastic elements of it.
Some of the greatest science fiction and fantasy stories have started on radio.
Yeah.
But here's my next question then. Are we, as a trio of writers, more wedded to the idea of a story around myths and legends? Or now that we've thought about these characters and the settings and locations and the dynamics between these characters, are we more wedded to that premise of the detective agency, the old case files, the wife and daughter? Because I really like that melting pot of ideas, the characters and settings and premise. Helen?
I'm not wedded at all to the myths and legends thing. That's not something that I've ever thought about much until you guys raised it. I mean, I thought it was quite cool, but I'm not too wedded to that bit. My usual stuff that I would be going out and trying to sell would be contemporary crime stuff.
Yeah. Steve?
I'd still like to develop something along those lines, but like I said, I just don't think TV is the starting ground. But I also do like the idea of, I like the people that we've come up with,
yeah,
and dropping them into a more commercially viable storytelling format would probably be the wiser thing to do. You can still, we can still bring all our particular passions to this type of story. Helen's phenomenal with plot around crime and stuff like that,
Committed so many crimes, so
yes.
Yeah. Well, what you're wearing today is possibly one of them, Lee.
Who says I'm wearing anything?
Exactly, that's what I meant. So I think we could keep the central character creation, add some nuts and bolts to it, but drop it into more of a commercially viable vehicle around cold cases and etc.
So I mean, the issue with the myths and legends is that the number of options we have as a story are limited. The legend is either true or it's not true, and then what do they do about those binary options?
I totally agree. I don't think you can tell this story without leaning into the fantastical.
If you're talking about a more sort of realistic, real life cold case situation, let's say somebody was murdered. It's not, we know they've been murdered. That's not what the story is about. It's about how they were murdered and about how we discover who did it. Yeah. That's what the story becomes. And the how is much more interesting than the what.
Yeah, I think it's a very well-trodden path with old tricks and programs like that.
Well, that's going to be a key thing then, is because if we do go for this...
And Unforgotten does it brilliantly. Absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah, like these cold case ones. And what was that? Another one on TV a while ago about cold cases. I mean, it might have been called Cold Case.
Trevor Eve's show. I think it was called Cold Case, maybe.
Waking the Dead.
Waking the Dead, that was utterly brilliant.
It was excellent, yeah.
And Unforgotten is utterly brilliant.
So
New Tricks I've never seen. That's a totally different
thing. It's all right. It's a bit more of a sort of broader comedic way.
The difference is they're all coppers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So what makes this... So here's the question then. Let's nail our colours to the post now. I don't know if that's a real phrase. Should we drop the myths and legends element of this to go with a more realistic cold case, missing persons, old murders, bank robberies that happened in the 50s, stuff like that, because it gives us more options in the story. It's easier to pitch and sell. I mean, everything's difficult to sell, but we're making the sort of comedic myths and legends thing even harder. So, Steve, if we're going to do something for TV, should we drop myths and legends from the idea?
Yeah.
Helen?
Yes, I think so.
I agree.
And not just because it's difficult to sell, because that just makes it sound like a cold commercial decision, but also because I never really saw like how on earth we would dramatise it.
Yeah, I mean, how do these two people prove that a legend is true?
Exactly. What do they actually do? Yeah, what do they actually do? What do they actually see? And that's something that I don't think any of the three of us came up with.
Yeah, you either dive into the actual, the truth of the legends, you know, these things are real, then you're into sort of an X-Files, Carnival Row, stories like that. What was the Rivers of London? Stories like that. That you either, your story is about the myths and legends. It's not about. There's another show called Truth Seekers. Yeah. The show's about that rather than about what we want it to be about, which is about the dynamics of the relationships of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Unless you're coming in with some attached talent, like Truth Seekers is doing with Peg and Frost, you're really going to struggle. So I think...
I would literally watch anything with those two in it.
It does sound amazing, doesn't it? I knew about it, but now I'm reading it and learning more about it. It is basically kind of what we're doing, but with ghosts rather than myths.
Now, their take on a ghost hunter type show with, was it Yvette Fielding? That would be brilliant.
Oh, that's what it basically looks like, and it'll be, I think it'll be DIY funny. But yeah, I think yeah, just for our concepts and coming in into the, you know, trying to sell this, it's going to be easier if we do it through by removing the supernatural.
Easier from a story mechanics as well as everything else. I think it's the right decision, yeah. So yeah. What we need to tell people now who are listening to this podcast, hoping for a myths and legends story to be created, is we're not going to do that now.
I think it can still be done. I think we could still take this concept.
Yeah, we could throw a few ideas into it, yeah.
And make it as a radio show or a podcast. I really think that there's a, you know, people love long-running science fiction stuff. You know, you look at Dirk Gently, you look at Hitchhiker's Guide. I mean, I know that's by the same author. The but yeah, you know, there's big appetite. There's big appetite out there for this kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But just maybe not from production companies or indies who immediately think, oh, high cost, yeah. And, you know, who's going to buy it?
Cost and limited options for distribution. More limited option. Okay, well, I'm comfortable with that. And this is a sort of good learning point for anyone that's listening to this, is that nothing is fixed in stone until it is fixed in stone. And it's not fixed in stone until it's been shot, edited, and broadcast. And it's okay to change your ideas and morph them. And if you find something that's better and a better core premise, a nugget of gold in the middle, then keep mining towards that. So I'm fine with this change and sticking with the
it's a balance, isn't it? On the one hand, I see far too many writers who are wedded to one idea and they've been banging it and banging it and banging it and banging it for years and it just doesn't work, or they just can't sell it, or they just can't. Yeah, anyway, it's not getting any traction for whatever reason, but they won't let it go. And in a way, that's quite admirable, but in another way, it's fucking stupid because, you know, as writers, we must have a ton of ideas.
Yeah.
And we just got to move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that we'd have to be like idea machines, really. But on the other hand, we can't be one of those other writers that I know that just jump from idea to idea to idea to idea, like clinging on to each little sparkle, like you know, just because it's more interesting than the one that's hit the very difficult patch. Because you find I've always found with ideas, whether it be for books or TV, is that in the initial period they're really easy, they're really exciting, you can see what they're going to be like. But when you get in amongst it, that's when it's really hard, and that's when you start to get bored.
And this isn't a writer's room that's been put together by a production company with one of their ideas that we have to make work.
Yeah.
This is taking a different approach.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, let's go forward with this idea of this sort of gumshoe detective who has a detective agency he's not been able to properly manage and do job work on because he's now got dementia that's setting in. Maybe he's on his last legs. His second wife, who his daughter doesn't like, and they're kind of estranged, finding them being thrown back together in some way to repair their relationship with each other, but also their relationship with the detective in some way. But the cases are no longer myths and legends. They are real cases of crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, I think a little shitty agency like that would get a mixed bag. And I don't think we could pretend that in that agency it's wall-to-wall juicy murders, that, you know, unsolved murders, because why the hell would they go to him?
There's a personal connection to a murder.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, like if we think about the reasons people go to a private detective, it's normally because somebody's missing and the police just haven't got any leads.
Yeah. Sometimes somebody's cheating and it's not illegal.
Yeah, sometimes it's divorce and somebody finds something in there. Sometimes it's because people want a bit of information. I know all this because I did some research on another private investigator show that never went anywhere. But basically it's
That's promising.
That's useful. Useful and also terrifying.
I think the production company, that it was their idea and they came to me and they just went cold on it. And that's just very common in production companies. But basically we did a fair bit of research about what these small little one-man band old-fashioned private dicks do. And it is a mixture of all really quite dull work. With the odd sort of tragic story thrown in, where somebody's basically, you know, they've just never had an answer. Normally, when somebody's been missing, presumed dead for a long time, and on the assumption that our investigator has not solved it either, otherwise our new investigators have nothing to do. It's not like he's a genius where, you know, and loads of people flock to him. So if we try and make sure that our cases naturally arrive from that pile of crap that he gets in the door, because the difference between like coppers doing cold cases is they naturally get juicy murders because they are a cold case unit. If our USP is that we're quite the opposite of that, do you know what I mean? We're a pair of bumbling fools that have no idea what they're doing, but somehow are going to get to the bottom of things. With no resources whatsoever, then it can't be a juicy murder each week. That's not to say that the first one can't be, but it needs to somehow be linked to all those crap cases that are in that dusty little office. It can't be. There's a famous murder that he just happened to get.
He's not going to suddenly discover red rum or
exactly
some sure. famous sure. person.
Sugar.
They're all cat food now, or maybe in.
You know what? That was my first win on the horses ever. I put a few pence on red rum and I won something like £1.47 back.
That was a lot of money back then, wasn't it? Pre decimalisation.
It was. I was over the fucking moon. I tell you. My dad introduces me to gambling at about 7. Good one, Dad. Yeah.
I think the first episode has to have some sort of really dramatic, emotionally impactful, although I hate that word impactful, it's not a real word, has an emotional impact story that's definitely related to their relationship with each other. So maybe something that's happened in one of their histories that was never solved by the police. There was no evidence to prove something, but they, through his investigations and his case file and their maybe new and unique way of approaching it, can reveal something new, which leads on to something, which leads on to something, which leads on to solving it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a missing person, couldn't it? Because I think the thing about missing person cases is when the police are no longer involved and they do just step out at some point. But the family are left with absolutely no answers. It's heartbreaking. And even to find out that person's dead is a relief, I think. It's the not knowing that always that is absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And they would have a reason to go to this investigator because they'd be getting no joy with the police. Maybe the police just thought that this person had wandered off or whatever, or maybe they were just presumed dead, but this person's absolutely never convinced they were dead. But then to actually find out they are dead is a good, it doesn't sound it, but it's a good resolution.
Do you remember that show a few years ago now with James Nesbitt about his son going missing while on holiday?
Yeah.
I couldn't finish that series because I was just so emotionally traumatized by it. I was just like, I don't want to watch any more of this. Cannot watch it.
I loved it.
It was based brilliant. On
a true story, though, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
It was a true story.
Yeah, I think it was based on it. Well, obviously it was based on, I think, true story and had overtones of Madeleine McCann, didn't it?
And the second series was interesting as well in that it had no links to the first one other than the detective. It was just another missing child.
Yeah.
All right.
I really like the idea of our of these cold cases being really shit.
Yeah.
Like
Tiddles went missing. Oh.
A chip shop that was burnt down for an insurance job, and you know, kind of, you know, like Helen says there, you can't every week have some grandstanding mystery because it's just not believable that, you know. Old tricks works because they're three old coppers who are seconded into a special unit.
Unforgotten works because that's exactly what they do.
Yeah. So their job is
when a new body turns up, but it looks to be linked to a very, very old case.
And what we're trying to do here is talk about providing some sort of sense of closure for people or communities.
Yeah. So,
and people seek closure over some of the strangest things. It could be, you know, a feud with your sister, or it could be, it doesn't all have to be like, you know, the murder of somebody that, you know, because that's, it's just not believable that, but the, like we said there, that the first case has to have some relevance to the fading old man and provide him some sense of closure, as I believe we should do, killing so that he goes, you know, happily into wherever he goes.
Well, perhaps as well, this was like one of his first cases, you know, the one that got away, and because he's got Alzheimer's, you know, you end up like your short-term memory's not there, but your long-term memory clings on. So maybe he's still sort of living as if he's investigating this case, but obviously he's not. He's just stuck in bed.
And because of that dynamic, he could have some really clear memory of some important detail as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
the elephant in the room would be the character that we're not speaking about is the current character is his second wife and estranged daughter.
Yeah.
So what happened? What happened to the first wife?
I reckon she just died.
You don't want her to be involved in...
you don't want her to be the first case?
No, because that's just all feels too coincidental.
Okay.
Maybe the detective...
Like, there's no way the daughter hasn't investigated that up until now.
Yeah.
She just arrives and goes, oh, do you know what I'll do? I'll investigate... Oh. I'll investigate the death of my...
20 years ago, we should look into that.
it's just stupid. Mm. That's just nobody's going to buy that.
Okay.
But the detective guy could have a brother or a sister that.
Yeah, exactly.
Circumstances, and the police never worked it out.
And maybe that's like kind of what kicked off his private investigation firm, in a way. You know, he was so then obsessed with trying to help people that were not getting any joy from the police that he set up this little investigating firm. But of course, it ends up doing, like you say, chip shops and what have you.
And most important thing we need to talk about is just purely focus on the pilot and purely focus on the story mechanism for the pilot. So what is the mystery and how do our people solve it?
Well, here's a quick question then. Helen, you've written 10 or 11 crime novels?
Yeah. Well, 11, hopefully.
11 soon.
I'm going to deliver it very soon, my love.
You should probably be writing rather than doing this. What are the key factors in a crime when you're trying to dramatise it?
Well, everybody has different ways of doing it, but... And I will admit, when I'm doing a novel, to probably doing it more organically now than I did when I first kicked off. But I think the best way of looking at something is to decide, first of all, what did happen, why the police didn't work it out, why the investigator, the dad, didn't work it out, and then dramatise how now these two new people can work it out, if you see what I mean. So
what makes these two unique in some way that they're able to solve something that hasn't been solved by two other, in air quotes, professionals?
Sometimes on a cold case, but you know, the longer it goes, people just give up, don't they? So
yeah, I think that certainly would account for the police. But if it's just like a personal connection to the detective, maybe new technology is obviously an easy answer. Yeah. But is there some unique traits and mannerisms or characteristics about our main characters that can assist them?
I think we can write those in after we've figured out what the actual thing is. I think to figure out the thing that they've got to figure out, and then it's easier to...
Well, what I mean is one... really good at data analysis with computer systems? Is one really good at, I don't know, getting people to drop their guard and open up about in a conversation with a cup of tea?
Yeah, I think that could come naturally. I think, you know, that's part of the background rather than the foreground. And I think the foreground, like Helen always says, the foreground, I think we've just got to figure out what is the driving force of this pilot, and then we can figure out how the fact that one of the characters might be, you know, hiding a mental trait that helps them.
Don't want to do eidetic memories again.
And fresh eyes on a case. You can never underestimate how useful that is.
People
just keep looking in the same places. You can't help yourself. And then fresh eyes on something, maybe you just look somewhere completely left field.
And we're providing a sense of closure here for people in a community. And these are personal stories. So the sense of closure doesn't, you know, it isn't like finding Madeleine McCann.
You know,
providing a sense of closure for the whole country. It isn't like finding Lord Lucan. You know, for those of an older generation.
Jimmy Hoffa, but that one's just been solved, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, Martin Scorsese just reckons he's solved that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's more about, you know, you could do like, there's loads of more smaller personal tales that are affecting, that our detectives try to bring some sort of sense of closure to.
Say it's the dad's cousin or half brother or something that went missing many, 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 many years ago, and that's caused a massive schism in the family. because, you know, half the people thought he was killed and half the people thought he just waltzed off and, you know, left his missus in the lurch with kids, blah, blah, blah. So by finding what the actual answer was, that's going to cause some sort of reconciliation.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Yeah. The police don't have to be involved in every single case. You know, it doesn't have to be a police cold case. It can be.
Well, exactly. I mean, to be honest, if they just reported that, and it just looked like somebody had walked off, I'm not aware how much effort the police would put in, particularly back in the day. I mean, what would they do? I'm always talking about this when kids in care go missing from care, and people assume that you know there are squad cars going around searching for them. The answer is nothing happens other than someone puts a note on a file, because it happens every single fucking day. People are always really shocked when I say, like, well, what do you think they're actually doing?
I think staying away from, you know, recorded crimes, obviously for variety, you drop in there every now and again, perhaps. So you might have, you know, secondary characters who are a disapproving copper, etc., who could be like a love interest for the daughter. But I think, you know, it could be, you know, as much as, you know, why did somebody's lover leave them, or why did somebody, you know.
Well, there's a reason someone goes to a private detective, and it's usually because they've been to the police and had no joy.
It's an obsession, isn't it? It's an obsession.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it's fine to say, like, oh, well, they reported that crime, but, you know, and the police might have even gone through the motions. You know, it's not that they're unkind. It's just that.
Could be like, why did the person I loved leave me? And, you know, you can dig into a community and find out that the person, you know, thought it was better to leave because the person would be safer if they left.
And you
find closure for older people stories in the past.
But going for our first crime.
Yeah, exactly. I think the first thing has to be some provide a sense of closure before he dies for the trajectory character that bring, you know, the old man that brings everything together. So it needs to be something that over X amount of time he's obsessed with that he hasn't been able to crack.
And something we're going to have to talk about as well is that if we're working all that out in the podcast, then this is massive spoilers. because we will have to have the answer on here. So what are we going to do about that?
Oh, it's only for the pilot we have to have the answer, isn't it? And
yeah, but you will not sell it if you broadcast the answer.
Well, then we will have to not tell people. But thank you for listening, everyone, but you're not going to get the answers.
But you know what I mean? If we start with the end in mind, so we start by saying, okay, what happened to this missing person? That has to be what we work out.
Well, look, we could do that off air, can't we?
Yeah, we work it out off air.
And then we can come back on air and say, hey, we've got it. But and then it's more interesting for our audience if, you know, those three people that listen to sort of go, oh, this is the characters they're doing, this is the precinct, this is the, you know, this is, et cetera, et cetera. And they have got a MacGuffin in the pilot.
Like the last thing. And also,
we're cutting out for them though in the podcast. We're cutting out the main thing, the hard thing, the hard yards. You know what I mean?
Well, we can record it and then release the podcast when the show is greenlit.
After we pitched it, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Because the working out of the crime, that is the really, really tough bit.
Yeah.
I promise.
We're taking this to a pitch level to pitch it to contacts in the industry to see if anyone is interested.
Yeah. And they're not going to have wanted us to have broadcast the answer.
Correct. All right. Well, I think we've done enough today. It's a bit of a shorter episode, but we've agreed that we're going to drop the myths and legends element of this premise in favor of the relationship dynamic and the premise of this ancient old detective agency and cold cases and stuff, because it gives us more story options. It gives us a more realism. We're not hindering our chances of taking it further by having a something that maybe is there's less options out there, there's less shows out there like it. I'm comfortable with that. I think we are making the right decision. And I think it's also important just to note that things do change and morph and flex as you go on. Any final thoughts from you two for today?
No, I think that's fine.
No, I think we should just, next episode, we'll put together that pilot episode. Just really focus on what that pilot episode is.
Yeah, and understanding what makes our characters interesting and unique. Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Steve. I will speak to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.